Hi, my name is Brian, and I'm here with Pastor Thad.
Hey.
And we are back with another episode of the After the Sermon podcast. And in this segment, Pastor Thad answers follow-up questions and shares your personal applications from the sermon for the benefit of the church. And we want to remind you through this podcast that sermons are not just a Sunday thing. The point of this podcast is to help us not just be hearers, but doers of the word. And part of being doers of the word means we have to be understanders of the word. So it's our prayer that this is a helpful resource for you as you discern how the Lord might be calling you to respond after the sermon from Sunday. So let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
We got a few questions here. Thanks for submitting those. And thank you for listening today. We got two pretty similar questions, so I'm going to read both of these, addressing tattoos. One from Emily McClue. She writes, is it a sin for a Christian to get a tattoo? And Lexi Ginky writes, are tattoos acceptable today?
Great questions. I was hoping, like in preparing for this sermon, that someone would ask this question. So that comes from our sermon this last Sunday on Leviticus 19. And in verse 28, that's where it says, you shall not have tattoos. And I think there's a couple problems with mandating that passage as forbidding tattoos for all times, all followers of God, throughout all places. First, Leviticus is outlining parameters for the Israelites under the Old Covenant, specifically talking about the areas of worship, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable. I would argue we are not under the Old Covenant now. I think secondly, it's just a bad hermeneutic, a bad Bible interpretation that to just inconsistently apply something we find in one passage in the Old Testament and just say this applies to every single area of our lives. Because also in this text, you have things like wearing garments with two different types of materials in them. And I'm sure even this last week we had clothing that we wore that had different types of materials made. It also talks about trimming of sideburns and how to not do that. That is something we don't submit to today. For Sunday, I trimmed up my beard and rounded off the edges of it. And so I don't think that's in there too. And I think there's also just some legitimate interpretational concerns about what tattoo actually means in this passage or whether tattoo is even an acceptable interpretation. It talks about also the cutting marks of the dead on your body. And God is specifically addressing what is going on in the pagan culture at the time, that they would do this self-mutilation as an act of worship to other gods or an act to remember someone who has gone and died as a way to carry their lives with them. And so it's addressing a very specific pagan cultural ritual that is going on at that time. So my short answer would be, no, I don't believe it's sinful for Christians to have tattoos. But I would also add in there a case of wisdom, things to consider before getting a tattoo. One being financial stewardship. Some tattoos are extremely expensive, and so you need to think, is this a wise investment of my money? Location. I think tattoos can be a limiting factor for personal ministry, not just like pastoral ministry, but our ministry, our witness to other people. Not a big proponent for face tattoos. I don't think those are helpful or encouraging of further...
A little off-putting
for individuals. I think the design, I think that's probably self-explanatory, that we don't want to have a tattoo that is offensive, that has vulgar language, that has any sort of nudity or sexualizing of a character on it. And I think lastly, just for kids, that if your parents tell you to not get a tattoo while you're living under their home, that you should live, respect, and honor your parents in that way. I don't think a good verse to turn to is in Leviticus for not getting a tattoo, but for Ephesians 6:1, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. And so children should obey their parents. So I don't think it is wrong for a Christian to get a tattoo, but I think there should be some intentional thought given to why am I doing this? What is it for? Wrong to get a tattoo.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've seen people get tattoos, use them for ministry opportunities in really cool ways to start conversations. It's awesome. Our next and our final question comes to us from an anonymous writer. They write after the sermon. So this is their question. Why can a man be forgiven for sleeping with a slave? Chapter 19, verse 20 to 22. But all other sex outside marriage results in harsh punishment. Chapter 20, verses 10 to 21.
Yeah, another big question, an important one that also has some interpretation issues with it. I'm going to read just those three verses real quick. It says, if a man lies sexually with a woman who is a slave, assigned to another man and not yet ransomed or given her freedom, a distinction shall be made. They shall not be put to death because she was not free, but he shall bring his compensation to the Lord, to the entrance of the tent of meeting, a ram for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the guilt offering before the Lord for his sins that he has committed. And he shall be forgiven of that sin that he has committed. And so in this one, there seems to be a lack of the death penalty, where if we were to turn one chapter to Leviticus 20, which Pastor Will preached last week, there's all these be put to death for committing adultery, sleeping with your mother, bestiality, all of these things. And yet here there seems to be an exception clause made for this particular instance. And so marriages during this time in this culture were often arranged marriages where someone would be betrothed, or as we can think, engagement, but a much more serious form of that. Or in this verse, it's assigned to but not yet ransomed. And so there seems to be a indication that there is a assigned to, there's a conversation being had among the parties for this particular slave girl, really more than woman, as we would think of a marriable age. And so there's a conversation being had among the two parties about arranging for there to be a betrothal process. And yet it says she's not yet ransomed. So there's not been a financial commitment made saying that, yes, I'm going to be marrying this girl. And she's also not free. So she's living under a certain person's house. And so a simplistic explanation is that she's not yet betrothed. So there's not a formal engagement. So the death penalty is not mentioned here. There's also debate among commentators about what does this actually look like in that word betrothal, engagement. How does that appear different than the other ones? One, neither party is married or even a commitment to marriage, so it's not technically adultery in it. There's this exception given because she was not free, because she is a slave. The death penalty doesn't apply neither to the girl or her seducer, versus if she had been free, the circumstances of the offense would suggest that she had been an unwilling victim. She raped, and she would have escaped and her partner would have experienced the death penalty in this. But here, neither is experiencing the death penalty. But there are additional things that have to be done. It's not just waived off. It says that there needs to be a compensation made. We don't have exactly who the compensations are all being made to, but four interpretations of it is that the master will make a claim for payment, saying, I need to be compensated for my slave girl who's been used in this way. Secondly, an investigation is being made to understand the circumstances surrounding this. Three, what sort of punishment is fair, meaning what kind of financial contribution does the offending party have to produce apart from death, because this seems to be a clause in that. And fourth, the distinction must be made about the outcome. What exactly is the distinction that is being made? And so there, like I said, there's some interpretational variance between different commentators, and that I think the largest and, like I said, the simplest is there has not been a formal engagement. So it's not as though this woman is married or soon to be married. There's just conversations, no payment being made. And so God is allowing for a saving of life in this. But also a guilt offering is being offered, one of the most severe ones. So there is significant things that have to be done in this. I think another question the text doesn't answer for us is whether or not the man and woman now have to be married at all. That just says a compensation has to be had, but doesn't say that they're required to be married. And so it does seem a little at odds, at tensions with what we'll read in chapter 20 with that. But I think the biggest factor for the why does it not result in the death penalty is it doesn't technically meet the case of adultery, of committing fornication with a married individual in that. And so God makes an allowance here for what it looks like. And that's my best answer to it. Maybe perhaps not as much clarity as we would hope, but there are some things we read in the scripture where there's not much clarity, or there's even Hebrew words where we struggle with what is the true interpretation of this word.
Mm-hmm. Like you said, it allows for a saving of a life after guilt offering is paid. Mm-hmm. Like there's definitely consequences for this. Shows the justice of God.
Yeah.
Still. Well, thanks for submitting that question, anonymous writer. Thanks, Pastor Thad, for being here to answer questions.
Of course.
On this segment. And we would love, as always, to have you submit your questions, and you can do that on your Get Connected cards on Sunday mornings. On the back, you can write that in the sermon application section. Just label that with after the sermon. Well, we hope that this has been beneficial and edifying for you as you seek to be changed and to love God more as you apply God's word after the sermon. So let's go apply the sermon and make disciples, and we will see you next week.